listening to KPPP LP FM Radio.
Hello, that was Deception, the Song of Us, is that correct?
Yes, it was a Deception, a Song for Us by Zhao Jesus.
Zhao Jesus.
Zhao Jesus.
And this is Cindy Gomeshev.
And this is Duke Gomeshev.
And you're listening to KPPP LP FM. We're broadcasting online through Live 365, and very soon you'll be able to find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM, adding local color to your airwaves.
That's right.
And welcome to our show. Tonight, we are talking about a deception, a story that is just mind-blowing. I can't believe that it's not everywhere. Well, actually, I can. I'm not that quite surprised that the mainstream media is not talking about this at all.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of scares me. Not kind of. It really scares me that this is happening in our country, that this kind of deception is happening in our country to this degree, and that the deception I'm talking about today in specific is education reform.
Oh, yeah.
The Black Lives Matter movement and disaster capitalism. We're being deceived about these things on many levels, and we'll be talking about that today.
Good, good.
In an article that was posted on theorchestratedpulse.com, you can find it at our website along with this podcast. It's titled The Movement Lives in Ferguson.
Okay.
By Drew Franklin. It was published on October 9th. And the subheadline is Teach for America, Black Leadership, and Disaster Capitalism.
Hmm.
So, you know that we homeschool.
Yep.
And I've had numerous talks about the education system in America. I've talked about the fight for the rights of indigenous people to be educated, black people to be educated, in previous podcasts, both on this show and on our Sunday Spanish show, Sabor Latino,
mm-hmm.
in Spanish. That's every Sunday at 6
p.m. 6
p.m.,
yes.
Yes. So this is a topic that I've talked about at length. In fact, one of the shows I thought that I did, which was the most explosive in response to education and the system of education's impact on kids of color was called homeschool. And you can find all of these on our website at kppfm.com.
That's right. Just click on the podcast link and you can pretty much listen to any of the shows we've been doing.
That's right. And share them with your friends.
That's right.
And so this is an issue that I care about very, very deeply. I am homeschooling my children not because I wanted to, but because I felt that the system of education in this country had failed our children so much that I could not, in good conscience, continue to leave my children in this broken down system that I feel was now doing more harm than good, and that on balance, the danger, the negative elements that could really negatively affect the lives of our children was not worth it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we came to the conclusion that we needed to homeschool.
That's right.
But what is so sinister about this story is perhaps the way in which the educational reform movement in America has co-opted the fight for black lives, the fight for the new modern day civil rights movement for profit. How it has duped American citizens and people in the Black Lives, people that follow the Black Lives Matter movement,
okay,
and that support it. And I was duped. I had no idea that there are leaders within the Black Lives Matter movement, like DeRay McKesson, like Antonio French, and many others whose names I will be mentioning throughout this broadcast, who have been infiltrated for the sole purpose of deceiving us in the media, and not because they care about fighting for the lives of those who are dying at the hands of police brutality, but because they are co-opting, trading on the death of people like Michael Brown in order to make a buck, in order to follow an ideal, which I believe is terribly flawed, and that is that the charter school system is going to fix America.
Wow.
And let me just tell you, I didn't really care about the whole charter schools versus public schools debate.
Yeah, that's right.
It's been going on for a long time.
Yes, and actually with progressives, we've always been told basically that we need to support the public school system, and don't support privatizing schools at all. And you know, we went through with our children the terrible public school system and what it was doing to them. We decided to homeschool. That is something totally different than doing a charter school. But I've met many people who have been part of charter schools, and
But see, as a person of color, I feel I was tricked because the school system was so terrible to my children that when white folks, because you know, the majority of you having this debate over charter schools versus public schools is white folks, because
yeah,
you run the system.
That's right.
You run the school boards. Mm-hmm. You're the administrators. You're the majority of teachers, and you're the ones that are in superintendent positions to hire and fire and decide on policy and law about the education system and higher education.
That's right.
So when I hear white people talking about a system that doesn't care about what I have to say about what's happening to my children, because my children aren't white, then I just kind of shut my ears to that debate, to that discussion, and I didn't care that progressives were saying, no, you have to support the public school system. In fact, part of me was like, no, I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Screw the public school system. I don't care.
And right now there's a bunch of signs outside in our yards around town for the Moorhead School District, and the bond referendum to bring more money into the school to expand the schools. So it says, vote yes on the bond referendum. And it's like, I'm not voting yes on that.
Well, see, part of the problem is that, and this is a discussion for a completely different topic in a different day, the school system is broken.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you folks that are just tuning in today, this is Cindy Gomez-Shemp. And
this is Duke Gomez-Shemp, by the way.
And you're listening to KPPP LPFM. We've talked about all these topics before. In fact, it was one of my good friend's comments in response to the topic that we shared on that homeschooling program in the past.
Oh, yeah.
And we always love to hear what people have to say. I really think that we benefit greatly from having these community conversations.
Definitely. You know, we want people to call us. We want people to connect with us. We want people to write us. You can call us at 701-566-0917. Leave a message. It's a message machine. Tell us who you are, where you're from, and leave us a 2-3 minute message, and we may play it on the air. You can also tweet us at media_PPP and email Cindy@kpppfm.com or Duke@kpppfm.com.
And say, Duke, when we go on the air, because we've been talking about how we're going to be, like, the antenna's going up soon.
That's right.
And that should be happening this week, right?
Yeah, yeah. Today it was too windy, so they weren't out there today, but the antenna's supposed to go up this week, and then I've got to do a few things in the studio, and then we've got to order a few things and get the engineer out there and start getting things hooked up. We could be up in the next couple of weeks.
I know. It's very exciting. But when we are on the air, people will be able to call in to the station.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
And then we'll be talking to you
mm-hmm.
directly. But for now, you know, you can tweet us, you can call us, you can leave us an email. You can also check out our social media page at the People's Press Project on Facebook.
That's right.
And follow the topics. Add your own.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear what you guys want to talk about. But today's topic, the education reform movement, this whole charter school thing,
the
Black Lives Matter movement, and the disaster capitalism is what we are discussing today.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back to this article that I mentioned, it starts off by telling us about this former Black Panther, Bruce Dixon, who was quoted on his blog for the Black Agenda report, asking a provocative question in this headline. He wrote, "Teach for America, Trojan horse among Ferguson activists, ? I never heard about this.
No, me either.
And so for whatever reason, and he wrote this quite a while back apparently, but for whatever reason, as is stated in this article, nobody cared. Nobody paid attention to what he was saying. Nobody looked at who Teach for America is. And for those of you who don't know who Teach for America is, you're going to find out on the show. I didn't have any idea. I had never heard of these folks.
No, I haven't heard of them either.
And it says that Teach for America was originally an organization, a 501c3, which started way back in 1990, founded by Wendy Kopp. And back in the day, it had about 500 recruits and small organization, okay?
Okay.
Working on education reform. But now, Teach for America is an organization, as of 2013, controlling nearly $500 million in assets and employing over 11,000 teacher, quote-unquote, core members all over the United States. And according to the article, this organization has grown exponentially and is having a summit in Washington, D.C. for their 25th anniversary. 25 years. They've been around for 25 years. I had no idea who they are or what they've been doing. It's pretty shocking the amount of change that they have been able to unleash in this country. So despite the fact that, according to most white progressives in this country, as far as I can tell, a lot of people feel that the privatization of schools is bad, right?
Yep.
For the last three decades, TFA has spent their time reaching into now 38 states in America, including the District of Columbia, and enabling the proliferation of school privatizations.
Wow. Charter schools, right?
Charter schools.
Wow.
Right. That has been their goal, their ideology all along.
And that leads to the charter school is funded from the public funds from the school systems for the private schools.
Right.
Oh boy, this makes sense to me. I mean, a number of years ago, I remember lobbying a legislator in Minnesota, and he was really big on getting the charter schools funding. And I remember I was confused because that whole thing of where, well, no, we don't want money to go to private schools, and yet there's this big push for the charter schools. And like I said, I had met some kids who had been in Minneapolis who went to a charter school, and they really loved having a school that focused on them. They were black, so it was a community of color that had a charter school, which I think is a different thing
they
that this organization
is doing. Oh, no, no, no. They targeted communities of color.
Oh,
Teach for America.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to get to.
Okay, okay.
That's why it's so insidious, because, yes, here I am, a woman of color, telling you how disgruntled and angry I am with the broken education system, the discriminatory mm-hmm. education system that my brown child and that many black children have to go through, where they are disproportionately discriminated against, poorly resourced schools with poorly educated and trained teachers, and they're more likely to be expelled, put in detention, four times more likely to be punished than white kids, and of course, the graduation rate for kids of color is atrocious. In this country, they call it the education gap. It's always been there. It's never been different. So what this article is telling us is that if you trace the genealogy of the tax-exempt education reform foundations, this puts Teach for America at the very center of a massive scheme backed by very powerful villainous-like list of donors.
Wow.
To have a corporate takeover of the public education system in the United States and all over the world.
Wow.
It is a huge, massive scheme. This education reform is at the heart, listen to me, folks, it is at the heart of the infamous murders that are taking place in Mexico, the 43 missing students from Ayotzinapa. At the heart of it is the same type of privatization that we are seeing in the United States right now. And folks, we missed it. It went under the radar. We've been getting told a lie. We have been sold a bill of goods. We already swallowed the hook.
Uh-huh.
We are on the hook, folks. So this TFA, their website, talks about how they're having this 25th anniversary, and it also talks about how they are going to, they're awaiting the one day, which is a reference to their original founder, Wendy Kopp's memoirs, where she talks about a day when all children in America will have access to really good education, right?
That's right.
And so the way that they operate is that they use political alliances like Mayor Blomberg and, you know, these political insiders to seize control of different school districts and impose this charter school model. But the second half of what they wanted to do in this movement is to groom a core group of leaders, right, from their alumni that were going to become the next leaders, okay? And Kopp explains this as follows. I think the way to understand Teach for America is as a leadership development program. We need political leaders, policymakers, doctors, lawyers, and probably more business leaders than we are now producing. In the long run, we need to build a leadership force of people. So their whole strategy was based on creating these leaders from their foundation and then sending them out into the world to live the ideology of the charter school model.
I guess.
And they disguised their organizational work in education reform with this interconnected web of independent, quote-unquote, foundations. And almost all of these organizations and foundations that were created were founded by or directed by this leadership group that was developed out of the TFA alumni, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And they worked in coordination to dissolve school boards, bust teachers' unions, and get public funding for their charter schools.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So among these kinds of groups was one, for example, called Knowledge is Power Program, KIPP. And they were an organization, an umbrella organization for charter schools that were founded in 1994 by TFA alumnus Mike Feinberg and Dave Levin. They administered, they were administrators of 183 schools in cities like New York, D.C., New Orleans, where education reform connected to Teach for America first started clearing the path for mass privatization, especially in New Orleans, especially after Hurricane Katrina. And
okay.
I'm going to get to that when we talk about the disaster capitalism and how it's all connected. This is going to blow your mind, folks. I hope you are sitting down, because this is crazy, crazy stuff. So KIPP had a reputation for creating, through the privatization of these schools, a prison program, kids in prison program. That's what he earned a reputation for, because of the school's draconian disciplinary policies. And they said that this guy gave new meaning to the term school-to-prison pipeline. So you can imagine all these stories we've been talking about over and over again about how there's an increased militarization of our police, and then how there's an increased police presence in our schools, and how this is bad for the people in the schools, the children, the community, and the safety of the children. This private school charter thing has been one of the reasons why we've seen an uptick in this kind of problem.
Wow.
And you know, the justification for epidemic institutionalized child abuse from these in these charter schools was based entirely on standardized testing.
Hmm.
This is the same thing that they've done in Mexico, too.
Wow.
So the No Child Left Behind thing, we know that's a complete failure.
Yes.
It's a complete joke.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the achievement gap or whatever in test scores. Especially when you're talking about the differences between in achievement between kids of color and white kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they, even though standardized testing is a failure, it does not show what kids are really learning or what they really know.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot be a real standard of what the teachers are able to actually impart to their students. And yet, despite that, it has been used to justify thousands of firings and closings of schools and firings of principals and busting of unions, and also is proof that we need charter schools.
I see.
That charter schools are good,
mm-hmm.
and that charter schools are the solution, even though that's all complete bunk. So, as the Texas Observer reported, the Walter Stoop, who is a University of Texas professor who testified to the Texas House Public Education Committee about the standardized testing problem and its lack of reliability as a metric.
Mm-hmm.
After he informed, you know, it's not like I'm the only one saying this.
Yeah.
There are people like this that are saying this doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the problem is costing taxpayers tons of money. He said, for example, almost $100 million a year is spent by Texas taxpayers for these standardized testings that are supposed to gauge whether or not the schools are doing a good job and the teachers are doing a good job and the students are learning, even though those standardized testing don't measure that adequately and they don't work.
Yes.
And he told the lawmakers that they've been using the wrong tool. And what did they do? He lost his tenure for it.
Wow.
Meanwhile, Teach for America, they're using their leadership block to get not just within the nonprofit sector, but all the way into the top echelons of state power. For example, within the federal government, their ranks include two assistants to the Education Secretary, Arne Duncan, as well as education policy advisors and associates in the offices of Senators Harry Reid and Al Franken.
Al Franken.
That's Minnesota.
That's right. That's
and Representative George Miller.
Wow.
And that should scare you folks, because what is someone working for Teach for America doing in the office of progressive Al Franken.
That's right. You know, someone who is supposed to be standing for education.
What is going on?
Yeah. Wow.
How did this get under our radar?
Mm-hmm.
How did we miss this? Okay. So, the most notorious of the alumnus of this group is a woman named Michelle Rhee, who was featured in the documentary film Waiting for Superman, which is a a masterpiece of propaganda for the charter school system. And, you know, within this, the director, Davis Guggenheim, narrating, says, "For generations, experts tended to blame failing schools on failing neighborhoods, but reformers have begun to believe the opposite, that the problem of failing neighborhoods might be blamed on failing schools."
Oh, boy.
As if neighborhoods can fail. What does that even mean? I don't know
That's
what
right.
that means. On the other hand, we know for a fact that poorly funded schools have poor outcomes for the students, with poor teachers and poorly trained teachers. But, you know, this sleight of hand that they use to try to tell us that, in fact, all we have to do is this, like, change of the school. If we privatize it, we will not only save money.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same thing they told us about private prisons.
That's
and look
right.
how well we're doing there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But they have sold us this lie, and the TFA also is a brilliant PR machine. They're on top of their social media. They use their press connections, their website, to do damage control anytime that they have had negative press about their comings and goings. And let me tell you, they've had a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Because people have been on top of this, especially white progressive folks like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They're all about the public education system. Look, I get it. I get that the public education system still works for 80% of white folks.
Yeah.
So I understand why you guys all want to keep it around.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work for people of color. This is just like the white feminist movement. Because it doesn't include women of color, it's ultimately going to fail. You're not going to have black and brown women join your movement because we know you're full of BS.
Mm-hmm.
And that you don't have our back. So we're not waiting any longer. And in the same vein, I'm telling you, you want to save your public education system? Believe me, I know the charter system is way, way worse. It is a Frankenstein. It's like a turducken of evil. Like, it's like Frankenstein inside of Wolfman, inside of the devil.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I get that. I get that, folks. But you want people of color in this country to care about this issue and stand up with you and fight for public education? Make public education something that we can take advantage of for our children, too.
Very good point. Very good point.
And, by the way, this engineering of propaganda, isn't the guy Edward Bernays, wasn't he from Minnesota?
I think so.
But this guy, you know, he came up with this concept of not waiting for the huddled masses of stupid to figure out what policymakers need to do. And he stated that great leaders need to engineer consent, is what he said. It was the term engineering consent, so that they could construct these certain goals and values in the masses. Well, that is exactly what Teach for America has been doing, because not only have they been privatizing schools to create new profit opportunities, and this is just like, you know, mining for oil or the gold rush. These people are in it for the money, folks. There's a lot of money to be made. You know, they have had a perfect cover, so they don't have to talk about class warfare or the racial bias in this broken education system, while at the same time subjecting teachers and students to a completely ideological process, because charter schools have not been proven to do anything to improve the conditions. And in fact, they've done a lot to destroy the public education school system, even in its broken model right now for people of color. So what they're selling, which was written by George Joseph in The Nation, and he describes it this way, is what TFA is really selling us. For decades, sociological research has shown that anti-poverty measures, not energetic young college students, are the driving factor in improved educational outcomes. Yet for over 25 years, TFA, Teach for America's organizational model, has been based upon the idea that a college student, fresh from a five-week summer camp, could swoop into a poor, overcrowded classroom and inspire her students to overcome all barriers of structural inequality. Thus, the fundamental premise of Teach for America elides this need for wealth redistribution, perhaps explaining why they have such a massive corporate donor appeal.
Wow.
Yeah, it is insidious, folks. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to tell you how bad this gets. Bruce Dixon, the former Black Panther we started off the show talking about,
mm-hmm.
was completely right, because, as it turns out, TFA is backed to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars by corporations like Walmart, the Broad Foundation, Monsanto,
wow.
and a long list of other very corporate villains and hedge fund predators who are intent on destroying the public education system, privatizing schools into the charter system model, and primarily doing this in brown and black neighborhoods, okay? And turning a dollar, making a buck off of the lives and the education of black and brown people. It is absolutely disgusting. I cannot believe that this has been happening under our noses and we didn't know about it.
Exactly. Wow.
For example, let me just tell you before we go to break, an example of what Michelle Rhee, one of the alumnus, one of the most bright lights of Teach for America, has done. In her first year as chancellor, she closed 23 schools, fired 157 D.C. public school employees, including 36 principals. And by the end of her tenure, 687 teachers represented by the Washington Teachers Union, most of whom were black people, all lost their jobs. And Teach for America proved indispensable in the endeavor to supply a reserve army of course, inexperienced recruits to replace all those tenured teachers
mm-hmm.
that were in the few schools that she didn't close down. And, well, this woman was called by Bruce Dixon. He later accused her of being a Trojan horse, along with Brittany Packnett, who began her career in TFA in 2007 as a core member at Martin Luther King Jr. Elementary School in Southeast D.C. And, you know, thanks to the atmosphere out there in D.C., highly racialized, the backlash from the closings of all of these schools and the firings and the busting of the union and the effect that it was having on all of these black people, it was a huge backlash against TFA. So, and this grew, especially after what they did in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina.
That's right.
Where they fired 7,500 teachers. Well, they laid the 7,500 teachers off right in the midst of the disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of TFA recruits came there. I mean, they quadrupled their ground forces in New Orleans. And in May of 2011, Governor Bobby Jindal appointed TFA alumnus John White to be superintendent of New Orleans Recovery School District.
Wow.
And he closed every single public school that remained open in New Orleans, the Recovery School District, making it the first all-charter school district in the entire country.
Wow.
And guess what Bobby Jindal did the next year? He promoted that dude to superintendent, state superintendent.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what's happening. And when I come back, I'm going to tell you about how, because of the backlash in black communities and Latino communities, because of what TFA has done to devastate public education for black and brown people in America, why they decided to rebrand themselves as a civil rights organization and how they infiltrated Black Lives Matter. After this break, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to KPPPLPFN. This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
What are you going to take us out with, Duke?
Going to do a song by the Speckles called Rotten to the Core. It's mm-hmm. about the core education system.
Gone to the Core.
Yeah, by the Speckles.
It was a good song.
It was. It hasn't been viewed many times, but I thought it was very interesting for the subject we're talking about today. So.
And they were talking about Common Core.
They were.
I hear this discussion usually, again, among white people.
Mm-hmm.
White folks are like, oh, the Common Core, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even care.
That's right. It's ironic. Even though our child is homeschooled, she's still part of the school district. She's a child that student, you know, and one of the things in Minnesota you have to do the standardized testing once a year. And so she has to do the test once a year to show that she's prepared for the future.
And our child is much better prepared for the future because she's homeschooled, one, and two, she does way better on those standardized testings than she ever did when she was in
school. Yeah, if she's in school, she would not score as well, that's for sure.
No.
Because the schools are not giving her that knowledge. She's giving it to herself by her education that she's choosing to participate in.
That's right, Duke. And if you guys are just listening, and this is Cindy and Duke Gomez-Shemp, and you are listening to KPPPLPFM, we are talking about education reform, the Black Lives Matter movement, and disaster capitalism. That's the topics of today, and the subject of a article in Orchestrated Plus. You can find it online, and a link will be available along with the podcast for this program on kpppfm.com. And the title is The Movement Lives in Ferguson by Drew Franklin, published on October 9, 2015. And they really shocked the heck out of me. I thought I was on top of everything. And I believed that the whole Black Lives Matter movement, which I was following very faithfully on Twitter, where most of the real reporting was happening, because of our broken media system, our corporate media system that doesn't tell us what's going on in the news to the degree that 75% of people in America don't trust mainstream media anymore.
Yeah.
Yes, many people, especially people of color, are turning to social media and especially the Twitter sphere to find out what the heck's going on.
Mm-hmm.
What's really going on in places like Ferguson, in places like New York, in places like Baltimore. And so you guys remember this guy named Antonio French, who was kind of the guy that broke the story back in August of 2014 when Michael Brown died.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me just tell you that he was an operative of Teach for America.
Wow.
Yeah. And if you were listening before the break, we were talking about the history of Teach for America. I went through a quick history of them. Very shocking what they're doing with public school education and how they're trying to basically dismantle it and turn it into a charter school scheme for profit all across America. How they have essentially already been doing that. Well, in response to growing backlash at the closings of so many schools, the firings of so many black teachers, the busting of unions, the firing of so many teachers, period. Okay, the way that they basically started cleaning house across America, and in some places, like New Orleans Recovery School District, completely shutting down all the public schools. Well, as a result of that backlash, they decided they were going to rebrand themselves as a civil rights organization.
Wow.
But in order to do that, they couldn't have the same folks like they had in the past that were already known for being proponents of the charter school movement in the leadership of the new, you know, civil rights movement. And they wanted to follow a model where the image they were going to sell was led by the oppressed people themselves.
Okay, okay.
Which is an organizational model, you know, very well.
Mm-hmm.
So they saw the death of Michael Brown and the battle that erupted there between protesters and police following his death as an opportunity to come in and promote Teach for America and charter schools. This is disgusting.
Wow.
To a level I cannot even articulate words. But this is what they did. And Antonio French was one of the folks that broke the story. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He was all over the place. He was the alderman from St. Louis. He's the one that made this a national and international news story. And he was all over the news. He was highlighted in the Washington Post. He was on TV Sports, on CNN. He was all over the Twitter sphere. And in a post that was retweeted over 1,000 times on August 21st, he announced that Teach for America had set up shop in Ferguson. And this wasn't just him reporting about some organization that showed up in Ferguson following the aftermath of the killing of Michael Brown to set up these places for kids to go to school in this benevolent disaster-like relief effort. He was promoting, propagandizing on their behalf. This was free publicity from a guy who had direct business connections with TFA's St. Louis chapter. And that's because he had led a charter school called Harlem Children's Zone, which is a pioneer charter school. And the North Campus's recruits were staff who had originally come to St. Louis to teach as TFA core members. So by March 2013, French had already brokered an official partnership between North Campus and TFA St. Louis.
Wow.
And the woman, Brittany Pitt Packnett, who I mentioned before, who also joined the leagues of TFA, that was so ruthless in getting rid of so many people. Remember that lady?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
By then, she was executive director of TFA in St. Louis. And she developed a rapport over the next year with this guy, French, and also started to create a movement, a leadership movement, among the people that were on the ground in Ferguson as protesters, right, or people that were talking about the news or the injustices against the black people there.
That's right.
She was the one that tweeted about and publicized Antonio French's arrest on August 14th. And later, she declared her revolutionary love for St. Louis's black children in a really incoherent post on TFA's blog page, where she was kind of convoluting the racism and how lack of education is how linked somehow to racism.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. I'll let you folks read it. You can go find it on our website. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Education Reform, the Black Lives Matter movement, their infiltration by Teach for America and disaster capitalism. You can go to our website at kpppfm.com and find this and other programs, right?
Exactly, under the podcast link. In fact, we tend to source our podcast, so as you listen to the podcast, if you just look below it, you'll see the sources we use, and you can look the stuff up yourself.
Yep, and read it. I really highly suggest that you read this. It's an amazing, amazing read. So as he tells this story, one of the greatest and most disappointing for me, because I had no idea that this guy who I thought was so great, DeRay McKesson, I hope most folks know that name or have heard of that name. But this is the guy, the black protester, who's been in almost all of these protests. Ferguson to Baltimore to New York, DeRay McKesson has been live tweeting and reporting on the ground ever since his first trip up to Minneapolis, from Minneapolis to Ferguson on August 16th, which he said he did under his own initiative. Never mentioning that, you know, how he's paying for any of this or who's backing him or whatever. But he is a Teach for America alumnus.
Wow.
And also, he has shown his enthusiasm for the education reform movement, the charter model. And he went and was working with Antonio French and Brittany Packnett.
Wow.
When they started TFA for America in Ferguson.
You know, it's something that I hadn't paid attention to, but putting that together, then I have to go backwards and kind of re-understand what I saw, especially with the context of this charter movement, this charter school movement, which is a charter school takeover.
Right, but you know what they did was they gave us this guy. He's an alderman, right? He's this mature-looking, responsible black man who's reporting about what's happening in Ferguson. And everyone in America is like, oh, my gosh,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So then DeRay McKesson comes out of nowhere, and he's sort of being seen with Brittany Packnett and with Antonio French, and they're doing these Teach for America things and talking about Teach for America. And then somehow, by sleight of hand, DeRay McKesson becomes the go-to guy. He's on all the news reports. He's at every protest. He's like, he's everywhere. Culminating, by the way, in New York Times Magazine's May 4th issue, headlined "Our Demand is Simple, Stop Killing Us," where he, McKesson, and another huge, you know, civil rights leader type protester from this whole Black Lives Matter movement that started a year ago or so with the death of Michael Brown, Jonetta Elzy, also another alumnus of Teach for America.
Mm.
And here I thought these were all independent people working on their own. And you know, Duke, DeRay McKesson just sort of, everyone in the Black Lives Matter movement was talking about this.
Yeah.
He just popped out of nowhere, and then all of a sudden he became the go-to person in the media to talk to about Black Lives Matter, even though he had nothing to do with their leadership, their organizational leadership. And people were questioning, why is he speaking for Black Lives Matter when he's not in the leadership of that organization?
Exactly.
And some people said, well, that's because Black Lives Matter is an organized and decentralized movement, and they don't have centralized leadership. And so nobody can really be the spokesperson for blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But guess what? Uh-uh. These people have been stumping for Black Lives Matter. Even DeRay McKesson meeting with Hillary Clinton.
That's right.
Just this last week.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, I'm sorry, it is my opinion that this guy does not care about the Black Lives Matter movement. If you just infiltrated it, and most of the work that you've been doing has been climbing you higher and higher on the ladder of Teach for America.
Exactly, exactly.
And by the way, folks, Antonio French, after all his good works that he did for these folks and in relation to these folks, was recently awarded $500,000, a $500,000 grant by these people in the movement for the education reform. And so also have DeRay McKesson and I believe Jonetta. I'm not sure if it was McKesson and Jonetta, but two of these folks also received $10,000 from Teach for America for awards for their revolutionary work in, you know, this leadership movement. Yeah, and we have been sold these ideas that, you know, McKesson says Twitter is a revolution. He tries to make us have this illusion that social media somehow is liberating. It's that's it's freedom. It's itself, and we, the people of color of the United States, have power through this Twitter sphere to stand up for ourselves and change the world. And somehow, the neat answer for everything, of course, is charter schools and better education. But listen to what Michelle Rhee, remember I told you the past incarnation of the leadership was Michelle Rhee.
Yeah.
This was one of his influencers, McKesson.
Okay. All right.
After graduating in 2007, McKesson joined Teach for America and taught middle schools for 2 years in East New York, Brooklyn, before he moved back home to Baltimore to work in HR, human relations, for the city's schools. He developed a reputation as a ruthless administrator. Every hiring and firing was justified in his own mind by what was best for the kids in the district. When one imagines a revolutionary activist following in the footsteps of the civil rights movement, a ruthless human resource administrator does not usually come to mind. That's what it says in this article. Those are not even my words. I'm reading here. But this is exactly what I'm talking about. He's been painted, okay, as a hero.
Yeah.
The hero that we've all been waiting for.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, kind of the neoliberal, you know, savior coming in. And it we're duped. We've been duped.
Yeah. And so this is how we get to disaster capitalism. So what happened in post-Katrina, the privatization coup that took over there. Remember I told you that one district where they got rid of all the schools?
Yep, exactly.
Well, this came after years of economic restructuring that was happening in New York, in New Orleans, excuse me, following that hurricane. And, you know, the concept behind this phenomenon was talked about in Naomi Klein. Hmm. Naomi?
Yeah, I'm very bad at names.
Okay, you're not going to help me with that.
I'm not going to help you with it.
But her book is called The Shock Doctrine. And Klein, in this book, talks about how the shock doctrine, disaster capitalism that is being used is a predatory policy framework that depends on some massive tragedy, some hurricane, some natural disaster, some kind of chaos or
catastrophic
or
events.
Right.
No?
That would destroy the
infrastructure.
But would allow people to recuperate public infrastructure and cede it to corporations.
Definitely, yeah.
And that's exactly what happened in New Orleans. There was all of this flooding. Lots and lots of black people were displaced and died. And all of a sudden, TFA came into New Orleans like gangbusters. And they shut down school after school after school. This is the same thing that happened in Mexico.
Yeah.
After the revolution in Mexico back in 1920, they finally changed. They had a constitution, and they demanded education. And there was an attack on the constitution with regard to education by Enrique Peña Nieto, right after he got into office. First thing he did in the first 10 days was to make constitutional changes, which were not discussed with anyone in education, in public education in Mexico, which were not discussed with any constitutional experts or the public. And the Congress ratified those changes to the constitution that Enrique Peña Nieto requested just 10 days after that.
Wow.
It happened like lightning. Mm-hmm. And immediately following that, they started doing exactly what they've been doing here, closing school after school after school, destroying the unions, destroying the collective bargaining power of teachers, and basically attacking the public education system everywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
That was gained after the revolution.
Wow.
Okay? And guess what? The teachers fought back. Sometimes they fought back in ways that required the military and the police to get involved, the authorities to get involved. And that's exactly the cauldron that Peña Nieto wanted to create so that he could go after them in mass with force and attack the public education system in the entire country and make these people look like they're crazy savages that just want their way. This is the exact same way that teachers and unions in America have been painted.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I can definitely see it.
It was done in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It's been done all over. And the teachers, the public education system, and now even the modern civil rights movement is being damaged, harmed, and hijacked.
Yeah.
So that these people can turn a dollar off of the back of black and brown people?
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely disgusting. This is one of DeRay McKesson's tweets. Programs do, importantly, often expand our collective notion of what's possible. This Think the Panthers free breakfast program. Charter schools. That's gross.
Yeah.
And for him to use the Black Panthers.
Yeah, really.
And we know people whose parents were in the Black Panthers.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would approve of Dorian McKesson using the Black Panthers and tokenizing them in this way. I don't think so either. I think that this use of the plight of Black and Brown students and the education gap and the failing education system to basically put in a whole charter school system across the United States and privatize education everywhere is going to do what it has done for Mexico. It's going to create civil unrest.
Mm-hmm.
It already has here. It's being co-opted in the most heinous fashion. And, you know, what's most disgusting to me is that all of this civil rights hype, what it results in is empty promises because, for example, in November 2014, Governor Jay Nixon named a 16-person panel on the Ferguson Commission, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Brittany Packnett got herself put on that commission.
Oh, boy.
How useful is she going to be in fighting against what's going on in Ferguson for Black people? Packnett was also subsequently selected for Barack Obama's task force on 21st century policing.
Great.
How useful is she going to be? And one of the other people,
mm-hmm.
one of the co-chairs under which she's going to be working, was former D.C. Metropolitan Police Chief Charles Ramsey, whose own civil rights violations against protesters were so severe that in 2009, the city was forced to pay them $8.25 million in damages.
Wow.
So we have the foxes in the hen house, folks.
Wow.
And we're just like, woo.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these people are just going to go in there and talk to Hillary and sit on these policing task forces and what have you, investigating. And they're going to be bartering, giving us what kind of milk toast reform for everything that people are, whose people's lives and careers
communities
are being destroyed
exactly
because of this. And these folks are, you know, well, as I said, they're making money, definitely. Like I said, there's been, the Civil Leadership Award, the Peter Jennings Award for Civic Leadership was awarded for Dorian McKesson.
Wow.
And Brittany Packnett and Mr. Antonio French got, I told you, $500,000.
Yeah, $500,000.
From the state of Missouri for his St. Louis nonprofit organization.
Wow.
And the movement is spreading all over the country and across national borders. There is now a Teach for India, a Teach for Lebanon, and an Enseña Colombia. I know education reform in Mexico is huge, huge problem that is costing people lives and destroying communities. I really suggest that people take a look. If you're just tuning in, we are talking about education reform, the infiltration of the Black Lives Matter movement, and disaster, capitalism. This is Cindy Gomeshemp.
And this is Duke Gomeshemp.
And you're listening to KPPPLPFM. We are adding local color to your airwaves. Right now you can find us broadcasting online through Live 365, but soon you will be able to listen to us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM right here in Fargo-Moorhead.
There you go.
And folks, we always want to hear what you guys have to say. Isn't that right, Duke?
Definitely, yeah. We want to hear from you. You can give us a call at 701-566-0917. Leave us a message. We may play it on the air, so tell us who you are, or your name at least, and where you're from, where you live. You can also tweet us at media_PPP, and you can get a hold of us by email, cindy@kppfm.com and duke@kppfm.com.
Yes, thank you very much. And you know what? I love this last song that you picked.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of my favorites. It's called Meet the Elements. I don't know why you picked it, because I don't know if it has it much to do with
this. Oh, it has to do with education. Yeah.
It does, true, very much. I love this song.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet a lot of teachers, especially science teachers, love this song. It's by Meet the Giants.
Balloons are full of helium, and so is every star. Stars are mostly hydrogen, which may someday fuel your car. Iron is a metal, you see it every day. Oxygen eventually will make it rust away. Carbon in its ordinary form is coal. Crush it together and diamonds are born. Come on, come on and meet the elements. May I introduce you to our friends, the elements. Like a box of paints that are mixed to make every shade. They either combine to make a chemical compound or stand alone as they are. Neon's a gas that lights up the sign for a piece of place. The coins that you pay with are copper, nickel, and zinc. Silicon and oxygen make concrete, bricks, and glass. Now add some gold and silver for some pizza place class. Come on, come on and meet the elements. I think you should check out the ones they call the elements. Like a box of paints that are mixed to make every shade. They either combine to make a chemical compound or stand alone as they are. Team up with other elements making compounds when they combine. A simple element formed out of atoms of the one kind. Balloons are full of helium, and so is every star. Stars are mostly hydrogen, which may someday